morning. My name is Paul Wilson. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Church of the Valley. I want to say thank you for being here. We're honored that you chose to worship with us this weekend. I believe the summer is officially here. You guys feel it? Yeah. Feel it out there? It's kind of hot. And for me, my kids just got out of school on Thursday. So now it is kind of like the summer is here. And we started our first series of the summer last week. It's called Faith at Work. And what we're doing is we're looking at the book of James. There's five chapters in the book of James. And so last week, this week, and then three more weeks, we'll be taking each one of those chapters and asking ourselves, what can we learn from the brother of Jesus, James, as he wrote to his early followers thousands of years ago? What can we learn today from that? And so last week, as my dad kicked off this series, we talked about the idea of trials and temptations and tests. And we said, sometimes there's things that happen to us in life. Some things that come from God, some things that come from Satan, some things that are just circumstances of life, and they really test our faith in God. And so this week we're going to specifically deal with that idea of faith. What is faith? I know many of us today would say, well, I have faith. I've heard that word before. I believe I'm a follower of God. I have a lot of faith. But what does that word really mean? Do we really understand what faith is really all about? So as we begin, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn and introduce yourself to the people on your left and your right, get to know them real quickly, and then answer this question. How would I define the word faith? In other words, just say to them, this is what I think faith is. Go ahead and do that for a couple minutes. All right, thank you for sharing your answers with one another. Got a little quiet as you guys all saw this beautiful young lady walk out on stage. This is my daughter, Marley. She's my oldest daughter. She's 11 years old. Say hi to everybody, Marley.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you. I've asked each one of my kids to come out here and help me over the course of the weekend, try to help you understand what faith is all about. In the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, it says this, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see." That's the way the Bible tries to define this whole thing called faith. Sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. And so what I want to do is I want to give you kind of like a visual understanding of what faith is all about. And Marley and I are going to help you this service. I want to encourage some of you who have children of your own, or maybe you have grandchildren, maybe think about some of the things that we're showing you. These are ways that you can teach your children, your grandkids, people around you, what faith is really all about. So Marley, you ready to start? Okay, let's try to talk a little bit about faith. Okay, as I begin, here's what I want to do. I want you to say, do you have faith in me? Okay, so here's what I'm going to say. Right now, I'm going to tell you that in one of my hands, I have some money. And if you have faith in me, I'm going to give you that money. So what you have to decide is, do you have faith? So what you're thinking in your mind is, you don't really know. You haven't seen what's in my hands or not. Can you see anything in there? You can't see yet, right? Okay, I'm going to take this hand. I'm going to remove it. Take it away. So if I'm asking you if you have faith in me, you have to decide, do you believe in me? Do you trust me? So what she's thinking in her head is dad trying to pull a prank on me here? Is he trying to trick me? Or is this the dad that I know loves me, I know that always looks out for me, that has my best interests at mind? So you ready, Marley? Here's the question. Do you have faith that I have money in my hand? Do you trust me?
Yes.
Okay. What do you see there? What is it?
$1.
A dollar. All right. You can have the dollar, but not yet. Not yet. Now I'm saying, now watch. Now I'm going to close my hand up again. Now I'm asking, do you have faith that I have a dollar in my hand? Well, now it's easy, right? What's the difference? The first time, you didn't know if it was really there. The second time, you knew it was there. You saw it. You see, and that's the way that faith works. Faith is seeing something and going, I don't know what's really there. I'm not sure if that's there. I'm not sure if it exists. Faith is being certain of what we do not see. And so Marley had to decide, do I have faith in my dad? Do I trust my dad? So the first thing we understand about faith is this, that it's a combination of belief and trust. Do you have a pocket? You can put that in your pocket. Thanks for helping me. Good job. So Marley demonstrated that she believed in me, that she had trust in me. Those are the first two parts of faith. But the last part of faith, and probably the most important part of faith, is faith in action. And your faith is proven by acting it out. And so now, Marley, I'm going to ask you, are you willing to act out your faith that you believe in me? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Turn around and face that way. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And then I'm going to ask you to fall straight back. And you have to trust and have faith that I'm going to catch you and your head's not going to smack on this concrete stage, all right? All right, so are you ready? Wait till I say go. And let's see if your faith can be proven by the action. All right, here we go. On the count of three. One, two, three, go. Good job, honey. Excellent. Well done. How did that feel? Kind of make your stomach just twizzle a little bit. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Okay, you did great. You had faith in me. I appreciate that. Now we're going to take your faith to the next level. Now I'm going to see if you have faith in some complete strangers. So here's what I want you to do. Come up here. You're going to stand on the edge of this stage, and I'm going to ask the five people in the front row here to help me. I'm going to go down there, and we're all going to stand down there, and we're going to hold our hands out, and I'm going to ask you to trust us and to fall back into our arms. Can you do it? Do you think you can trust us? All right, you stand right here. I need five people from the front to help me. Who wants to help? Just kind of come up. Three people on this side, stand in a row, shoulder to shoulder. And then two of you over here. I need one more person. You want to help? Okay, you guys stand here. So stand in a straight line facing each other. So we're going to be like this. Okay, good. So don't jump yet. All right. So we're going to hold our hands out, and let's hold our wrists. Hold each other's wrists like that. Okay, so we're going to get in nice and tight. Let's scoot this way a little bit. All right. Okay, so we're all going to hold at the same level. So let's be at like my level. All right, so hold it right there for a second. So Marley, you stand up here. I want you to turn around. All right. Okay, and then just look that way. And you're going to close your eyes. And when I say go, you're going to fall straight back. And you're going to trust these complete strangers that they're going to catch you. Are you ready? Let's put your faith into action, baby. Wait till I say go. One, two, three, go. Go for it. Good job, honey. Excellent, excellent. You can climb right on stage. Woo! Thank you guys for helping. Thanks a lot. Now, was that even scarier? You did awesome, babe. I'm proud of you. Good job. Give her a big round of applause. Thanks, honey. You can go backstage. Good job. Awesome. I asked each of my kids to kind of come and help me because, you see, I'm their father. I'm their earthly father, and my kids know that they trust me. I know that they have faith in me, but I wanted you to see that they had to kind of put their faith into action. They had to trust not only what I was saying and doing, but even trust other people around them. And each and every one of us, we're in that same situation on a daily basis. You see, our heavenly Father, God, is saying, do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Are you willing to put your faith into action? And each and every day, God is going to ask you, are you willing to kind of step out on the edge? And are you willing to take a leap of faith for me, not knowing what's in store, not knowing maybe exactly how it's all going to work out? But God is saying, believe in me, trust in me, put your hope in me, and I will catch you. I will keep you safe. I want to look at one other scripture. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, it says this: and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see what the writer of Hebrews says here? He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He says this whole idea of faith is wrapped up in our friendship with God, in our adventure with God. And if we don't completely have faith in God, then our relationship with him is incomplete. It's not the way God wants it to be. He says, if you can put your faith into action and trust me and put your hope in me and your faith in me, then I will reward you. Then I will give you this adventurous, amazing life. And so today, we need to understand this whole thing about faith, and we need to see what it is that God is asking us to do when it comes to putting our faith in him. So we're going to look at the book of James, chapter 2. In verses 14 through 24, James describes three different types of faith. And so we're going to look at those three different types of faith. And as we do, I want you to be asking yourself this question. Look introspectively into your own life and say, which one of these types of faith do I most demonstrate? And be honest with yourself, even if it hurts a little bit. So if you have your Bibles, open up to James chapter 2. I'm going to start off by reading the first description of faith that he gives us, found in verses 14 through 17. And I believe this first description of faith is what I want to call a dead faith. For James here is going to show us that this faith is based on belief. It's someone who says they believe in God, but yet they're lacking something. And that thing that they're lacking is action. Here's what James says, starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if people claim to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, then what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. See, James makes it clear here. You say you have a belief in God. You say you know God. You call yourselves a follower of God. But what are you really doing to put your faith into action? He says, what if somebody were to come to you and said, I'm in need. I have some I have some difficult situations and I need somebody to help me out. Can you give me some food? Can you give me some clothes? Can you take care of my physical needs? And as a Christian, if you just simply say, well, God bless you, I'll pray for you, and I hope it works out for the best, and send them on our way, have we really demonstrated faith? See, this is something that happens in neighborhood groups all the time. In a neighborhood group, we'll bring up an issue, a situation that's going on with maybe in our own family or somebody in our neighborhood or a friend. And many times our neighborhood groups will say, what? Well, I'll pray for you. This happened to me last year in my neighborhood group. I had just spoken with a lady from our church who I knew her pretty well because I coached her son in soccer. And she's a single mom raising four young boys. And she came to me and said, Paul, our situation's gotten pretty bad. Where I'm working right now, they've changed the way that they're paying me. And so for this next month, they're paying me a lot less. And I don't have enough money to pay both the rent and to put food on the table. What am I going to do? Is there any way that you can help me? So I went to my neighborhood group that night, and I talked about the situation, and I explained what was going on in this lady and this family's life. And like every neighborhood group, all my neighborhood group said, let's pray for her. Let's just pray about that situation. And so we prayed for her, and I wanted to see if someone would put their faith into action. And when the group was over that night, after we were done and we dismissed, one of the guys came back over to my house after group was over, and he said, Paul, I want to do something about that lady's situation. You see, I was raised by a single mom. I know what that's like to grow up in that environment. And he reached out his hand, and he said, I want you just to give this to her and just tell her that God loves her and that God is going to bless her. And you see, this guy had been struggling financially for the last couple of months. He was self-employed, and his business wasn't going very well. He wasn't making ends meet in the way that he needed to provide for his wife and his three kids. But he opened up that hand and dropped it into my hand, and there were five $100 bills. Man, I just thought, wow, that's amazing. I know you're struggling in your situation right now, and yet you're willing to put your faith into action to trust God and help someone else out. This is someone that wasn't okay with just simply saying, I'll pray for that lady. He was someone who has said, you know what, I need to put my faith into action. I don't want to have a dead faith. I don't want to be the type of Christian that just says I'm a follower of God but doesn't do anything about it. How about you right now in your life? If you're honest with yourself, how do you respond to those situations, those opportunities that come before you on a daily basis? Are you the type of person that says, hey, I'll pray for you, or hey, I'll send you to this other person, or why don't you go see our church and they can take care of you? Or are you someone that says, you know what, I'll step up right now. I'll be the God that you needed to see, and I'll put my faith into action. This first type of faith that James describes is a dead faith. What about the second type of faith? The second faith is what I want to call a distorted faith. Because in the second faith, it's someone who also still has a belief in God. It's based on a belief in God, but yet they're lacking something different than action. They're lacking what we want to call trust. Let's look at the story here. James chapter 2, starting in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there's one God? Well, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. What James is saying here is, yeah, you say you have a belief in God. You say you're a follower of Christ. But yet, who are you really putting your trust in? Are you really trusting God? Or instead, are you trusting yourself? Maybe trusting your career, your finances, your family, your government to take care of you? This is another thing that's been very appropriate in my neighborhood right now. There's a lot of people where I live that are losing their homes through short sales and foreclosures. They're not able to make their mortgage payments. One family from CCB that lives in my neighborhood in particular was wrestling with this over the course of this last semester. And the wife had lost her job. They didn't have enough money to make their full mortgage payment. And they were trying to decide, what do we do? Do we really trust you, God? Do we really have faith in you? And many people around them were giving them advice. And there were people that were saying things like, you know what, you don't have to make your mortgage payment anymore. Sometimes the banks, they're not even noticing it for 6, 9, 12 months. You guys can just not make your payment, save up whatever money you have, and then deal with it later. Other people were saying, why don't you just have a friend or a family member come in and buy the house as a short sale, buy it at a really cheap price, and then they can just give it back to you or rent it back to you or take care of it that way. And throughout the last couple of months, they were really struggling. What do we do? Do we trust this advice that our friends are giving us, that the world is giving us? Do we trust the banks or our government? Or do we really put our trust in God? And you see, they didn't want to have a distorted faith where they just said they were Christians, but they didn't really trust God. And I was so proud of the decision that they made. They decided to give their house back to the bank and trust God to move on in a new area of their life. They decided to move to another part of the city and move into an apartment for the specific purpose of starting a ministry there called Apartment Life and joining with this ministry. What Apartment Life does is they ask couples to come and live in an apartment for the sole purpose of being like a neighborhood leader for that entire apartment complex. And so when anybody new moves into the neighborhood, these apartment life people will go and meet them right away. And they'll pray with them, get to know them, introduce them to other people in the area. If someone in the apartment is dealing with personal issues, maybe marriage issues, financial issues, the apartment life people are the first ones to step up and say, how can we help you? What can we do to support you? They also put on outreach events. So they're just a community group in that neighborhood living amongst these people in the apartment saying, we're here to meet your needs. And so that's what my friends did. They decided to put their trust in God, move to another part of the city where they didn't have any friends or family members living there, and said, God, we're going to trust you with this ministry. Show us what you want us to do. We're going to put our faith into action. I was really proud of them. How about for you? If you're honest with yourself right now, do you have kind of a distorted faith? Are you someone that says you believe in God, you're a follower of God, but yet you're really not trusting God solely with your life? You're not believing that he's in charge, that he's in control, and instead you're trusting yourself, your finances, and situations and things around you. Let's look at the last faith. We talked about a dead faith. We talked about a distorted faith. And then finally, James talks about a dynamic faith. And a dynamic faith is the kind of faith that God wants each and every one of us to have. It's a faith that's based on belief, just like the other two, but yet it has this perfect combination of trust and action, and it puts all three of them together. Starting in verse 20, James describes this dynamic faith. Chapter 2, 20 verse. He says, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that people are justified by what they do and not by faith alone." I want you to specifically look again at verse 22. It says, "You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did." James makes it clear that we need to put all the elements of faith together. It's not just belief all by itself. It's not just trust by itself. It's belief, it's trust, and actions all working together. And when you put all those elements together, that's when you have a dynamic faith. I want to have you listen to the story of one more person who really is trying to live out a dynamic faith. I want you to watch the video screens of a guy here in the church named Daryl Ancarlo and listen to his story of dynamic faith.
I'm Daryl Ancarlo. I've been at CCV for approximately 3 years now. I've been doing radio and television for 32 years. When I came to Phoenix, the plan was this is where I would retire and stay. And then we had an automobile accident about a year ago, and it caused me traumatic brain injury and PTSD and about $800,000 worth of medical bills. So it's taken me off the air for now. I'll return one day. I've been a Christian since I was a teenager, and I remember committing my life to the Lord. He's always been a part of my life no matter where I've been. And my wife, Laurie, and I, we were at a restaurant, and it's a Greasy Spoon restaurant. I won't name the name, but I love it. And I go very seldom. But when I do, we always see this same waitress, and she reminds us of someone we knew in Texas. So this night, it was completely empty, and we got her. And so I'm known as the guy who interviews everybody I ever come into contact with. My wife says, "Can you just like say hi to somebody? I interview them." And so I start giving her the third degree and interviewing her and why are you here and where are your parents? And she's my daughter's age, so she's 21. And as I'm speaking to her, it becomes clear she's in a kind of an abusive relationship and she wants out. And she wants to really rededicate her life to the Lord. And she, you know, eyes are swelling up with tears. And she walked away. And I turned to my wife and I said, "We've got to do something for that girl." And my wife says, "Well, you know, I've got $150 I could leave on the table." And I said, "No, it's not money." And I said, "You know, we've got that part of the house that we built that was always meant for missionaries. When they come to town, they can stay there free of charge, or somebody down and out. Let's do it. Let's test our faith." And she said, "Are you sure? We don't know this girl from anything." And the girl came back and I said, you're moving out of that house and that abusive boyfriend now. And she said, where am I going? I said, you're moving in with us, which of course freaked her out. You know, like this perfect stranger saying, hey, you're moving into my house. And I said, no, you don't understand. It's a wing where you can lock us out and you have everything you need, bathroom, everything you need, and it's yours. And you have your own entryway. We don't even know when you're coming and going. And she said, why would you do that? And I said, because as a Christian, our job is to show our faith. Our job is to demonstrate our faith. Our job is to show our love wide and deep and high and long. And so she's been living with us now for quite a while. And I just feel like we're rubbing off, you know. And I hope that we are. I hope that when she leaves, she'll say, man, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Daryl's story fits perfectly with what we're talking about so far in the book of James. You see, after week one, it would have been easy for Daryl to say, wait a minute, I'm the one that's experiencing trials and temptations and tests, and maybe somebody needs to be helping me out. Who's there to meet my needs, to take care of me? But instead, Daryl saw this opportunity to put his faith into action. Something that I find is so interesting, if the story would have ended when his wife said, hey, I've got $150 here, how about we just give her $150? If that's the way the story would have ended, we would have all gone, wow, that's amazing. I've never given $150 to a complete stranger I've never met before. What a cool thing to do. But no, the story didn't stop there. Daryl said, you know what? I feel like God's wanting me to do something more, something bigger than that, something that I don't even know how this is going to work out. It was this, as if Daryl had to step out on that edge and go, God, I'm just going to trust you here. But I get this sense that you're speaking to me right now and you're saying, this woman doesn't just need money. She needs something more than that. She needs someone to step out and just love her unconditionally. And I praise God that Daryl and his wife and his family did that for this lady, and they're making a difference in her life. They're putting their faith into action. They're living a dynamic faith. And I want you to let you know that each and every one of you can have that type of dynamic faith. God provides all of us opportunities like that each and every day where we have to decide, are we going to simply just be someone who listens to what God says, or are we going to do what God says? In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, it says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but instead do what it says. In other words, so many times we come here to church and we go, wow, what great music. What a great sermon. What great food. What a great experience. And we walk away going, wow, that was fun. That was neat. I feel like God spoke to me. And we walk out the doors and we just continue on with our life the way that it was before we came here. And God is saying, don't just come and experience this. Don't just listen to the word. Instead, when you leave these doors, do what it says. Put it into practice. Apply the things we've talking about. And so today, that's simply the application. Put your faith into action. Really prove to God, prove to the world, prove to yourself that if you say you believe in God, if you say you trust in God, then show it with your actions. That's what God is asking each and every one of us to do today. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to be really honest with yourself and say, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give this a try? So take out your sermon notes and look on the bottom half of the back page. There it says, Faith into Action Challenge. And that challenge is broken down into three sections. It says, I will put my faith into action this next week by, and it lists three things. Same thing for the next month, and same thing for the next year. I want to encourage you in just a moment to think about and be honest with God. Is there something really that you feel like God is asking you to do right now? You're maybe like Daryl, and you know, this is what God wants me to do. There's a section there where it says, name your own adventure. I want you to simply go ahead and write that in there if you know exactly what it is that God's asking you to do today, to put your faith into action. For the rest of you maybe who are new or you haven't been here a while and you're not exactly sure how to do this, how to put your faith into action, I've given you a couple of examples of things you can do there. Let me give you an example of one of them. If you look on the final section, I'll put my faith into action this next year by reading the entire Bible cover to cover. This is something that I felt like I wanted to do again for myself, and I wanted to challenge some of the men in my neighborhood. So I went to a group of men in my neighborhood group and also where I live, and I said, how many of you have ever read through the entire Bible beginning to end? And all of them said, no, we've never done that. We've never read the whole Bible. We've only read parts of it, and we've never read it kind of systematically or with a plan or a purpose. I said, how many of you would like to do that this next year? I'll meet with you. I'll do it with you. Let's all read through the Bible this entire year and see what we learn, see what God teaches us. And they said, all right, we'll go for it. And if you would have asked those guys that first couple of weeks that we started, they would have said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. This is a lot of reading each and every day. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it through, Paul. But now we're almost halfway through, and each one of these guys is on track. And I meet with three different groups of guys throughout the week, and they all say, man, this is awesome. We are learning more about God than we ever knew before. We didn't know some of this stuff was even in the Bible. Our faith is really growing. They are enjoying this as they put their faith to action. So here's what I want to ask you to do right now. I'm going to be quiet for about a minute. I'm going to ask that no one leaves. Everyone just kind of is still where they're at. And spend some time being honest with yourself and being honest with God. Look at this list and say, you know what? I want to try one of those things over the course of this next week or this next month or this next year to really put my faith into action. Or maybe some of you, you already know specifically what it is that God has placed on your heart and mind. So I want to encourage you just to have the courage to write it down, make it real, and then just spend a few moments quietly talking to God. Say, God, give me the courage, give me the strength to put my faith into action. So let's be quiet for a moment, spend some time talking to God. Dear God, I thank you so much for what we've been reading about in the book of James today. God, you've made it clear that faith is so much more than just believing in you. God, you've let us know that even the demons believe in you, but clearly they don't trust you. Clearly they don't follow you. And God, today we want to prove our faith in you. God, I pray that you would give us the ability to trust you above anyone else in this world. God, right now, I believe that you're speaking to each and every one of us. You're placing things on our heart and our mind that you want us to do in your name and on your behalf to make this world a better place to live. So God, I pray that you would give each and every one of us the strength and the courage to put our faith into action as we leave this building today. God, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus, who is the ultimate example of faith into action. He was willing to do something that no one else was willing to do, and God, we know that because of that, the world has never been the same. We all have the ability to have our sins forgiven. And so, Jesus, we are eternally grateful to you for your dynamic faith. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.